What is going on out there, everybody? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Mario the Plumber, and joining me, as always, Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios, ready to talk about some interesting sightings that have been taking place over the last couple of years. I'm still also, if people have been asking, thank you for privately messaging me with direct messages on Instagram, as well as emailing the show about my concerns about the UFO invasion. I appreciate your concerns, but yes, I am still freaked out. They just released another video.
Yes, they did.
I saw where Jeremy Corbell released another video. Now, of course, now it's been disseminated amongst multiple networks. Everybody's sharing it, but it is another orb-like spherical-shaped UFO that was captured, I believe, in 2019, or it might have even been last summer, off the coast of San Diego on the USS Omaha. It happened in the dead of night, so they said it was pitch black, so it wouldn't the sailors couldn't see it with their naked eye, but they were using instruments and infrared and thermals, and they have videos where this thing, and they said there was more than one.
Yep.
Followed the group of ships for over an hour, and you can see the thing clearly keeping pace with the ships and then going under the water.
It's really not that far away from the ship either.
No, it's not.
You would think, of course, I don't know, you know, I'm sure it's hard to hear, but if it was anything like what we always talk about, what we would have, you would have heard it. But you don't hear anything, and it's just, it doesn't even appear to be putting out anything as far as like an engine or engine heat. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like it looks just like a black orb moving intelligently along the surface of the water. How do you think it is out of the water?
I would
100 foot?
Yeah, I'd say 100 foot. About the size of the water towers.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. It's about 100 foot out of the water, and then it just, down it goes.
It's hard to tell how big it is. I'm picturing probably like the size of like a Volkswagen Beetle. Clearly the government is saying that they don't know what it is. They're not saying it's a UFO or extraterrestrial. I'm sorry. They definitely don't. It is definitely unidentified. They don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're just saying we have no idea what that is.
But the whatever propulsion system it's using, it's not using stuff that we have. And you could clearly see thrust from an engine, a jet intake or something like that, like we would use. There's no wings on the thing. There's no propellers. There's no rotors.
It's also going slow.
And it's
to be airborne, it's not moving fast. Not like a blimp.
I mean, they've also said they do not believe it's Chinese or Russian or something like that. They just don't think that if it is, they said, then it's been a monumental failure with our intelligence to not know that they were capable of building such a thing. But I don't think it is, because whatever it is, it's being piloted intelligently, and it's keeping pace. And these things, I don't know if it's ramping up, but they are definitely, they don't appear to be hostile. They're not. I wonder if they know that we have thermal imaging. Like, does it think it's being secretive, but it doesn't know that we're watching, or is it well aware that we're watching it?
That's a really good question.
Because it seems like sometimes they're able to turn on the lights or make it the glow. Some of the aliens might be like juveniles, maybe, and they got the LED kits underneath on their, you know, on their rides or their whips. And then the other ones are not. I don't know. But this thing on this occasion was trying to be secretive, it appears like. But again, going into the ocean. So, I don't know. Is that what they hang out, or do they just know that we don't have the capability of really going down there very easily? I mean, you can be in a big, cumbersome submarine, but it's pretty bulky and not very stealthy. And well, I guess it's kind of stealthy, but I mean, they're not super maneuverable, not like these things.
Yeah. Well, I always think about when they talk about like these are drones from Russia or drones from China. I always think that's a very primitive way to look at how you would take secret intelligence.
Yeah.
Like to me, wouldn't secret intel be better if you had secretly launched satellites that were untrackable and that you could look and follow anything and everything from like the old James Bond movies with these crazy satellites from space? Mm. They would be so much easier, you would think, than it would be to try to design a drone that you can send over there, even if it's man-powered, that you're not going to be threatening in any form or fashion. You're just going to lay out in the cut and watch a battleship, you know, just watch a ship move. Like that's all. And then you just dive into the water. Well, like what's the point of diving into the water if you can fly like that? There's no point. If you can shoot 60,000 feet into the air, and you're a, you know,
if you could dematerialize and go halfway across the cosmos in a second.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if it was made by a human, like if we were making it as a drone, that just the angle just never adds up.
No, because that's not what it is. That's not what it is. I mean, if it's a drone, it's an extraterrestrial
drone. I can tell you
drone.
100% what it is. It's disturbing as hell. That's what it is.
I agree. I think we should be a little freaked out. Although, I don't think whoever they are, I don't think that they're necessarily hostile.
No, I don't believe they are.
Because wouldn't it make sense if they were, that they would just show up and just start kicking ass?
Yeah, it wouldn't even be a fight. It'd be like you get into a fight with Luke.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a fight. I mean, they would just be able to do, they can turn things off whenever they want.
It's like an intergalactic scientist who's like watching a hive of wasps and you can observe it. You're getting kind of close because you're trying to figure out what they're doing, but you don't want to just walk up and hit it because then they're going to go crazy and sting you, right?
True.
They probably are terrified by us.
Yes.
I mean, human beings, we kill each other.
Yeah.
And all the time. So they probably are a little afraid. They're probably like, what are these things?
I don't blame them. I'd be a little afraid too.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I don't believe they're a threat, but I'm really curious as to how this plays out. Like, this is one of those things I really can't wait to see how it plays out.
And there are supposed to be coming forward pretty soon. I think even in the month of June, isn't it where Congress and stuff is supposed to disclose a whole bunch of information?
Believe so.
Maybe that's why this stuff is ramping up, because the government knows that they're not going to be able to hide it anymore. So they're starting to release more of this stuff because they know, look, we got to spill the beans.
Before they do. We're trying to get out ahead of this before they do, before the aliens take over.
Yeah, you recommended a really good documentary.
Did you like it?
I thought it was pretty good.
It's the Stephen Greer documentary. What is it? Contact of the Fifth Kind?
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters. Yeah. Close Encounters. And I really do like the angle. I like what he's saying. I kind of like some of the stuff. Now, I've known in the past he's, you know, said and done some silly things, but everybody
has. Sure, he took a shot with the Atacama baby. Turns out it wasn't extraterrestrial, but the guy's trying.
We've all said and done silly things, but yeah, I think it's a very good movie. You can check it out on Amazon Prime if you haven't seen it already.
I think you can rent it on, you know, just any place you can rent videos, you know, $3 or $4.
Yeah, search it up, Dr. Stephen Greer. And I enjoyed the heck out of it.
And it is interesting their opinions on what the government's doing. Yes. The reason they're trying to make them seem hostile.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. That way y'all need to go watch this. You need to go check it out and then kind of reevaluate what you're witnessing now in the news that has to do with UFOs. It's very, very cool.
Speaking of news.
Oh.
Let's get into the news.
Speaking of news, bro, I got you something that is just as disturbing, if not more so. So not long ago, we discussed pale crawlers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had a lot of positive feedback.
A bunch of wild stuff. Got a few more cool stories. Well, so did Lon. And our homie Lon got one. He sent over here from Australia. So from the land down under, you still have pale crawlers. It says, I don't sleep with curtains open because of crawlers. I'm a grown woman, and I still can't sleep at night with the curtains open. In fact, when I moved into my current house, I installed dual curtain rods so that even if my light-blocking curtains are open, there's a layer of privacy shears behind them to block any sight. I've seen the crawler 4 times. I now live in Brisbane, Queensland. I don't truly know if it's the same one. They were all seen at different locations. It's been years since I saw the last one, but I still feel like they were the same creature, or at least they knew me. The first time I was a very small child, perhaps 4, maybe even 5. Now, my house was an old-style flood house, so it was technically 2 stories tall, but under the house was where we kept the car and our laundry room. Now, upstairs was where the living areas were, and, well, we were one of the only houses there. And it was the early days of the town, and there were only a few other houses on the cul-de-sac. The back of our property was maybe 500 meters from the ocean, but you couldn't see or hear the coastline from my house. There were some light rainforest surrounding our fully fenced home. My bedroom faced the back of the property. Well, I woke up one night, which wasn't unusual for me because I was a very light sleeper. Now, this particular night, my parents hadn't closed my curtains. And when I looked towards my window, I could see it. Now, keep in mind, I was on the 2nd floor. It was looking through my window. I couldn't see much. The only light was coming from outside. But I could see the silhouette of its body. It was pale and thin, but still the frame of the creature was huge, easily 2 meters tall. It was hanging off of my roof, holding on to the frame of my window, and even though I couldn't see its face, I just knew it was looking at me. I was terrified. It's been almost 2 decades since I saw it, but I can still remember the intense fear I felt. It took me so much courage to get out of bed and walk to my parents' room, where I finally fell back to sleep. My parents told me that it was just a dream. Now, the next time I remember seeing it, I was probably 7 or so. I had moved houses probably a few months before, and my new house, about a 16-hour drive from my old place, was still in Queensland. It was a single-story home, but still on the coast of the country. It was a lot further from the ocean, about 5 kilometers, but very much the same kind of area. We were the only houses in the area, and I had no neighbors. I woke up one night because I'd heard something banging against the metal fence. In Australia, we have a brand that makes fences and roofs out of corrugated metal that's been painted. They're quite common, 6-foot-high, cream-colored metal fences. And they make an unmistakable noise when something hits them. I have no idea how anything could climb over one of these fences. They're completely smooth with nothing to grab onto. Even in my teens, I tried sneaking out by jumping the fence and I just slid right down again. Now, at first, when I woke up, I thought some birds must have landed on the fence. But the noise continued for longer than it would take a bird to land. My next thought was that someone was trying to break into the house. I turned over in bed to face the window, and I saw it. Well, I actually didn't see it at first. It was very dark out, and I don't remember much of a moon. As my eyes adjusted, I could only make just enough of this figure hunched down in front of my window. Even in the hunched down pose, this thing was still huge. This time, I didn't run to my parents. Their bedroom was no longer across the hall. It was all the way on the opposite side of the house, and I'd have to pass so many uncovered windows to get there. I don't remember when I fell asleep, but I eventually woke up in the morning, and once again, my parents told me, "Well, you must have been dreaming." That's what we're great for, right? It's just a dream, kids. Don't worry.
I know. That's
notice the age. Younger.
Maybe all parents out there, stop dismissing your child's sightings. You know, maybe there's something more to it.
Or at least calm them down, but keep it. But you also don't tell your 7-year-old that the crawlers are real
out there.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that either. It says, now, however, from then on, they always came into my bedroom and closed my blinds before bed. The next time I saw it, I was 9. I know I was 9 because I'd just moved schools and made friends with a girl who we'll call Casey. And she invited me to stay at her house one night, and I was so excited. Since she was the first friend I'd made since moving schools, and it had been ages since I'd gotten to have a sleepover. Everything went great. The night was perfectly normal, and I woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of Casey crying. I sat up in bed and asked her what was wrong. She pointed towards the window, where I saw the thing again. Unfortunately for me, Casey had a nightlight, and I could see much more of the creature than I'd ever seen before. It looked so crusty and dry. It was almost totally white, devoid of any real identifying features, except it stared at us with black eyes and mouth agape. Casey's window was small, and it had to hunch down to see us. We both got up and ran crying to her mom. She turned on the outside light and brought us back into the bedroom and pointed out a large gum tree outside the window that she tried to explain just to have must have been what we had seen. We argued with her. The thing we saw was right against the window, not several meters away, and it wasn't to the left, it was to the right. Casey's mom eventually let us sleep on the couch. Now, a couple months later, Casey decided to come stay over at my house, and when I woke up in the morning, she was gone. I asked my parents, and they told me that Casey had gotten up in the night, started crying, and begging to go home. When I saw her again on Monday at school, she told me she got up at night to go to the bathroom, and when she walked past the lounge room, she could see the tall skin monster crawling through the trees at the bottom of my backyard. She never came to my house again, and I lost touch when I moved schools a year later. I don't know what it was that I saw. I can't have sleep paralysis. I was able to move and speak and everything, and it wasn't a dream because someone else saw it. I don't know if this relates in any way, but when my partner moved into my house a few months ago, he opened the curtains one night before bed. This time it was a full moon, and I had already fallen asleep. I'm now living in a 2-story house with my bedroom on the 2nd floor again. I woke up in the middle of the night to my partner getting up and closing the curtains. When I asked him why, he told me he'd had a nightmare that there was a tall, skinny white man clinging onto my roof, almost like a spider, and that it was peering into my bedroom. Now, he said it must have been a hallucination because he'd been up all night playing video games. And when he got up from bed, it jumped back onto the roof. I still haven't told him, but his description of what he saw is exactly what I saw the first time I saw the crawler. Only now I'm living in a busy neighborhood with plenty of houses, unlike past experiences where I've been the only houses on the block and surrounded by forests. I've heard mimicking many times, but have always drawn it up to imagination. Sometimes I will hear my partner walk into the room and say hello at night, but when I roll over, I see the light coming down the hallway and realize that he's still in the lounge room on the computer. I've heard my mother's voice a few times too. Throughout my childhood and all homes I lived in, we've had issues with dogs barking at nothing and security motion detector lights randomly coming on at night when nobody's there. I don't know if those two things are related or not, but I've heard similar happenings in crawler-related stories before and thought I'd mention it. So those are my stories. I don't know if I've seen a crawler or something else, or if I've even seen anything at all.
Wow.
How disturbing is that?
Very disturbing.
It's like it follows this person her whole life.
And it's one thing if she had only seen it, but her friend saw it too.
Yes, yes.
Which always is interesting when it comes to the sighting of, you know, anything.
Yeah.
When you have more people to help corroborate your story.
So much so that the friend left in the middle of the night.
I don't blame them. I mean, if I was at somebody's house and I saw that, yeah, I'm out.
I would like to know now that person should go back and speak with her parents if she's able and go, you remember when she left? You remember all these stories? Think back if there's anything strange has happened to you, you know, to your parents and ask,
yeah,
did you see something that you're not, that maybe you forgot and you weren't willing to tell me when I was little? Because I'm curious now because it's still happening. Like, look into your family lineage, talk to the people, maybe aunts and uncles, cousins, whatever you've got. If you've got any extended family, I'd start picking brains because I would want to know, because this isn't a normal, like, crawler story. Most of the time they're seen, yeah, they seem to be menacing, but it's a one and done type thing. It doesn't seem to follow. And like they point out, I don't know if it's the same one. Well, it kind of sounds like it.
Yeah, especially if you haven't seen it over the years throughout your life.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a demon or something that's following you, but it's definitely something that I would be leery of.
Got to exercise the demon.
That's right. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some very unusual sightings of some upright walking canines. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
As far as we know, the werewolf is a mythological animal. It's the subject of many stories throughout the world, and even more than a few nightmares. Werewolves are, according to some legends, people who morph into vicious, powerful wolves. Others are a mutant combination of half-human, half-wolf. But all are bloodthirsty beasts who cannot control their lust for killing people and other animals. It's unclear exactly when and where the werewolf legend originated. Some scholars believe the werewolf made its debut in the Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest known Western prose, when Gilgamesh jilted a potential lover because she had turned her previous mate into a wolf. Werewolves made another early appearance in Greek mythology with the legend of the Lycaon. Now, according to the legend of Lycaon, the son of Pelagus angered the god Zeus when he served him a meal made from the remains of a sacrificed boy. As punishment, the enraged Zeus turned Lycanon and his sons into wolves. Werewolves also emerged in early Nordic folklore. The saga of the Volsungs tells the story of a father and son who discovered wolf pelts that had the power to turn people into wolves for 10 days. The father-son duo donned the pelts and transformed into wolves and went on a killing rampage in one forest. Their rampage ended when the father attacked his own son, causing a lethal wound. The son only survived because a kind raven gave the father a leaf with special healing powers. Many so-called werewolves from centuries ago were in fact serial killers. I've talked about that several times on this show. And France had its fair share. In 1521, Frenchman Pierre Bergotte in Michel Verdun allegedly swore allegiance to the devil and claimed to have an ointment that turned them into wolves. After confessing to brutally murdering several children, they were both burned to death at the stake. Burning was thought, at the time, to be one of the few ways you could actually kill a werewolf. Gilles Garnier, known as the Wolf of Dole, was another 16th century Frenchman whose claim to fame was also an ointment with wolf-morphing abilities. Man, I need to get a hold of some of this ointment. According to legend, as a wolf, he viciously killed children and then ate them. He too was burned to death at the stake for his monstrous crimes. Peter Stube, a wealthy 15th century farmer in Bedburg, Germany, may be the most notorious werewolf of them all. According to folklore, he turned into a wolf-like creature at night and devoured many citizens of Bedburg. Peter was eventually blamed for the gruesome killings after being cornered by hunters who claims they saw him. They actually saw him shapeshift from a wolf back to his human form. He experienced a grisly execution after confessing under torture to savagely killing animals, men, women, and children, and to eating their remains. He also declared he owned an enchanted belt that gave him the power to transform into a wolf at will. Not surprisingly, this belt was never found. Some legends maintain werewolves shape-shifted at will due to a curse. Others state they transformed with the help of an enchanted sash or cloak made of wolf pelts. Still others claim people became wolves after being scratched or bit by a werewolf. In many werewolf stories, a person only turns into a wolf when there's a full moon, and that theory may not be as far-fetched as you think. According to a study conducted by Australia's Calvary Mater Newcastle Hospital, sorry, that's a mouthful, a full moon actually brings out the beast in many humans. The study found that of the 91 violent acute behavior incidents at the hospital between August 2008 and July 2009, 23% happened during a full moon. The patients there attacked staff and displayed wolf-like behaviors, such as biting, spitting, and scratching. Although many were under the influence of drugs or alcohol at the time, it's unclear why they became intensely violent whenever the moon was full. Throughout the centuries, people have used werewolves and other mythic beasts to explain the unexplainable. In modern times, however, most believe werewolves are nothing more than pop culture horror icons, made famous thanks to Hollywood's 1941 flick, The Wolfman. Still, werewolves have a cult-like following. Werewolf sightings are still reported each year, and werewolf legends will likely continue to haunt the dreams of people throughout the world. So the question is, what are people seeing? Why are there so many reported sightings of these upright walking canines? Are they real physical beings? Are they just a hallucination? Or some sort of thought form projection created by group thinking? Is it some form of demon manifesting itself on something it knows will terrify you? Is it a skinwalker? or a family curse. I don't know. The first time I ever heard about a real werewolf sighting or dogman sighting was a behind a casino in Thackerville, Oklahoma. According to the story, this creature was caught rummaging through some trash dumpsters on a closed circuit security camera one night. The casino is owned and operated by members of the Chickasaw Nation. So, perhaps there is some validity of the skinwalker hypothesis. The second time I heard of tales of a real werewolf was Linda Godfrey's iconic book, The Beast of Bray Road. Now, I've had the pleasure of speaking to Linda more than once, and she told me all about the reported sightings there in Walworth County, Wisconsin, back in the 80s and 90s. God only knows how many went unreported. I don't know any more now than I did back then, but I still enjoy the topic, and I absolutely love to hear the stories. On today's show, I'm going to be discussing some strange sightings people have had with what can only be described as a real-life werewolf. This first person says, back around 20 years ago, I was visiting my great-uncle in a region around Kerrville, Texas. At the time, he was living in his first house in the area before he moved to a retirement community near a small set of trees. The trees were beautiful, really, as is this part of the famous Texas Hill Country. I was staying with him and my great-aunt for about a week when we would go out in the evening to walk his dachshund or dachshund, as we tended to do in the evenings in general. The walk was uneventful as the sun set. Just a normal evening, complete with the calls of doves and other wildlife. And the dog and us were all just having a wonderful time. But then things changed. Suddenly, all of the wildlife went deafening silent, and all of us just froze, as did the dog. I remember having a distinct sense of unease and fear that I could not quite explain. And the dog was looking directly in a specific area near one of the streetlights. My eyes turning to where the dog was looking, I was staring. That's when I saw it. There was a creature loping through there. It was a dog-like thing, about the size of a large Labrador, save that on the creature's neck, there was a head the size of a bear. And the thing was loping up and down and up and down in a way that just didn't fit the build. It looked hypnotic in a sense, and I was more terrified than I've ever been with anything else I've ever seen. It gave me a visceral understanding of Lovecraft's idea that things that just look fundamentally wrong are terrifying precisely because the proportions don't fit. That thing was powerfully built. The upper limbs, in particular, looked very stout, and the dog remained frozen for another few minutes before we moved back to the house. Just as we were about to leave, this thing stood up on two legs and began slowly walking towards us. It wasn't making any noises, mind you. No growling, no snarling, but it definitely was staring and moving toward us. I felt the feeling of complete dread. It was like every cell in my body was telling me to get out of there quickly. We didn't waste any more time and quickly headed home. I kept looking over my shoulder as we made our retreat back to the house. At one point, I was basically running backwards. I never saw it chasing us, but I didn't want to hang around to find out if it would. We finally made it back to the house, and my great uncle and aunt were white as ghosts. They were visibly shaken, even trembling a little. I couldn't help myself. I had to yell out, "What the hell was that?" Now, I never, ever, ever curse or swear in front of my aunt and uncle, but I couldn't control myself. They didn't seem to even notice my cursing and swearing, and my uncle said, "Stop, stop. Let's not talk about it. Don't you dare tell anyone about this. Do you understand me? Do you understand me?" I said, "Okay, okay." And I was a little dumbfounded. I thought that he probably would tell me more about it later, but he never did. I'm not sure what precisely that thing was, or if it was a dog man, but it convinced me that something like that could exist. The sudden silence that lasted for just a few minutes after it left, and the dog being frozen with fear and wasn't even growling or barking, still sends chills up my spine when I remember it. As my only encounter with something like a cryptid, too, it remains something very, very vivid in my mind. Not least because I know how dogs move. I know what wolves would move like, and whatever that thing was, it made no sense. I tried to bring it up one other time with my great uncle, and all he did was stare at me and say, "We don't talk about stuff like that." A few years later, both my great uncle and aunt passed away. I never got to hear their explanation about what that was in the woods. Maybe they didn't know either, but I got the feeling they knew a lot more. Thanks for all you do, Kevin. Wow, Kevin. What an incredible story. I know what you're talking about. This is a common thing where people, for whatever reason, when it's these cryptid hyenas or dogman sightings in particular, they say that it just doesn't look like it's moving right. Like, it's hard to explain. I mean, I don't know because I've never seen something like that, but it's a common thread where people talk that it looks like a wolf or a dog on all fours, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't. It doesn't look like it's working right. That's why it makes me wonder if it's something else trying to pretend to be a wolf or a werewolf or whatever, and it's somehow screwing it up. There are sightings sometimes of flying griffins or stuff like that where they say that it's flying, but like the wings aren't even moving. It's not soaring or gliding like a buzzard. It's literally just moving through the air without having to move its wings. I don't know. Crazy story, nonetheless. Check this next one out. I'm going to recant a story of mine that I tell very rarely. My own family doesn't even know about this. And while that might sound weird to you, trust me, it makes more sense to tell complete strangers than the people I'm forced to be around. So, without further explanation, let me get into my story. This happened when I was much younger. I'd have to ask my parents when the camping trip happened to tell you how many years ago it was, but I can assure you it was at least a decade. Now I'm going to use some questionable words for describing the location. Words like wooded and wilderness reserve, because I don't know the best words for this thing. Around a decade ago, a friend from church asked me to join his family on a camping trip to a wilderness reserve called Oasis State Park. Of course, since this was my best friend, and his family had always been very nice, I said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to go." Up until that point, I had only camped a few times, but always enjoyed the outdoors. So, the prospect of camping with a friend and his family seemed absolutely amazing. So, we began preparing for a weekend when I wasn't busy. I got my own tent, I got my own sleeping bag, and I got all of my own supplies. I was ready. Once all that was gathered, the father of the friend came and picked me up, and my parents waved me off. There are quite a few things I remember from that trip. The amazingly hostile yet beautiful New Mexico countryside, the plateaus, and the campsite. The New Mexican wilderness isn't something a lot of people fantasize about camping in, at least not so far as I know. But Oasis State Park is different, trust me. The camping plots are all nice, even if the best ones are taken, which they usually are. There's a pretty lake, lots of wildlife, and I hate to admit it, more trees than I've ever seen in town. Yeah, I know, nobody thinks of multitudes of trees when they think of New Mexico, and for good reason. They aren't the most common occurrence in the plains unless planted by people. Regardless, Oasis has enough for me to just use the term woods for the sake of brevity. So anyway, we found ourselves a plot and began setting up our tents. By afternoon, the tents were set, and I and my friend ditched his oh-so-boring younger sister in favor of exploring the park. The memories are fantastic. We found a snake by the lake, and we actually watched it drink from the water before slithering off quickly. We explored a place I remember that was very sandy. We watched a roadrunner doing its thing. We played all day after lunch and saw so many amazing things that by the end of the day, I never would have thought of anything could go wrong. We finished the day like you always do, by collecting some sticks and wood and starting a fire to eat s'mores and, of course, tell ghost stories. None of his stories were scary, though. Probably because I and my friend were kids, and his sister was an even younger child than us. That and his father was the lead singer at our church, and making children cry was bad for his reputation. So by ghost stories, I mean little jokes of stories designed to make you giggle more than cry. Yeah, it was pretty lame, but, you know, what do you expect? Anyway, shortly after the stories were said and the s'mores were eaten, we retired. Me to my tent, and my friend, his father, his sister, they all went to their tents. Now for the scenario or the setup. I'll explain the positioning. This is all going to be important. My tent was at one edge of the plot, and my friend's tent was at the exact opposite. This was for privacy reasons. Now, at my end of the plot was a mini trail that leads through thick brush all the way to the lake. Also, about 3 feet from my tent was a little tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but it was still young and small. The trail to the lake was to the left of my tent entrance, and the lake was behind it. And a thin tree line sat across a trail in front of my tent. Now, that trail, the one in front of my tent, led to the restrooms. So, I went to bed without a single bit of fear. And before I did, I went ahead and urinated on the tree outside of my tent because of laziness. Screw the 2-minute walk, I thought, all the way to the bathrooms, when nature's toilet was just outside of my tent. So, I finished, zipped up my tent for the night, and climbed into my sleeping bag to go to bed. I don't know how long I slept, but when I woke, I had to use the bathroom again, and it wasn't the kind of pottying I could do on the tree, or at least not reasonably. So, I, not being a moron who'd wander through the dark, grabbed my little lantern. I flipped on my LED lantern, and I unzipped the inner flap of my tent before the outer, as if that little nylon net could protect me from what I was about to see. Now, I should mention that outside of cities in New Mexico, it's quite common to hear coyote howling. It's a nightly occurrence when camping. Heck, even up in a little village like Logan, you can hear the howls from your bedroom. It isn't so unnerving when you're in a house, but when you got some flimsy nylon walls to protect you and that's it, well, let's just say it isn't the most comfortable sound. As I unzipped my tent flap, I did hear a few howls, but they were distant and not worrying. What stunned me into stillness was a very loud howl from the direction of the lake, about a yard from my tent at the most. This howl was very different, though. It had a feel of a coyote howl, but it was deeper, and it lasted longer. I simply sat there, petrified at what I heard. I wouldn't be able to guess how long I sat there, breathing hard, with my fingers still grasping the zipper. But however long it may have been, was just long enough for the thing that made the howl to come up to the trail right next to my tent. Suddenly, I heard the crunching of claws on the dirt, and after that, claws on the rocks that made our camping plots. Then I saw the largest shadow made by a living creature that a little kid like me had ever seen. It lumbered heavily in the direction of the sparse tree line where I assumed the other howling had come from. But before it got past the tree I urinated on, it stopped. I realized only then that I was both lit like a candle and had not been trying to silence my heavy breathing at all. By then, it was too late, as that hulking thing lumbered over closer to the tree and into the light of my lantern. As dim as the little LED light was, at that distance, it was just barely enough to make out some details. I'd like to note a few more very important details that stuck out to me as odd. It had roughly the fur coloring of a coyote, but that classic dogman head shape with the tiny pointed ears too small to make sense. It also made strange noises as it lowered to all fours in front of my tent. I heard popping sounds, like joints rubbing together, as I can only assume its knees busted out of their standing joints and fell into different joints to support it on all fours. It briefly ignored the very obviously frightened kid, me in my tent, as it sniffed the tree I had urinated on. The breaths were similar to a dog's, but longer and far deeper, almost like a horse's. Then that thing turned to me and stared straight into my eyes. Its eyes didn't glow. They didn't peer into my soul or anything, but they were unbelievably unnatural. Above all the things I saw in those eyes, I saw a predator. Have you ever been in a position where you made eye contact with a beast you know is stronger than you? Something you could just slaughter you at will, and you know it knows you know? Just looking for a seemingly so darn long that I thought for sure I'd be a bloody stain by the time anyone reached my tent. Screaming at this point, I realized would do nothing. Heck, I doubted a gun would even hurt this thing. But despite every feeling in my gut, despite the dread of knowing it was a predator and I was prey, I didn't die. Instead, this thing, it turned slowly, ever so slowly, and just sprinted off into the woods. Just gone into the night, faster than it came. I have one personal friend who knows about my encounter, and he jokes that it was my urine on that tree, like I had somehow marked my territory or something dumb like that. Or maybe it just wasn't hungry. Or most improbable, it had just enough morals not to kill a kid. I'll never really know. Needless to say, I didn't go to the bathroom. I just put my lantern away, closed my tent flap, and held it all night. I don't remember sleeping much that night. Heck, I might have for a little while, but if I did, it was dreamless. I do remember that I tried to hide this experience the next day, asking if my friend and his family, if they heard any of the howling. While they did say they heard some of the howling, they told me that they just ignored it, thinking it was a coyote doing coyote stuff. I was encouraged to just ignore it, as if I was a city kid who had never heard coyotes howling before. That next day, I stayed as close to my friend as possible, out while we were exploring. Somehow the safety I had been feeling during the day put the beast out of my mind until we later found some tracks in that super sandy place. Coyote tracks. I think seeing those tracks confirmed to me that it wasn't just some dream, and because of that, I showed enough fear that night to convince my friend's family to let me sleep with them in their tent. Even in the comfort of a warmer tent, more people means more warmth, and the presence of an adult, the father, and the two other people, my friend and his sister, I couldn't sleep that night. I'd nearly drift into sleep, and then I'd hear a coyote howl, and I'd be wide awake again. The next day, I'll admit it, I pretended to be sick, and I got my mother to drive up and take me home a day or two early. It was the worst camping trip of my life. It ruined only my whole summer, but it also ruined camping for me forever. I haven't been camping without a tent buddy since, and I don't plan to. Even now, I'm still very uncomfortable, always listening for strange noises, sometimes acting paranoid. This really messed me up, I guess. Being forced to see that human top of the food chain or a human is not necessarily the top of a food chain, which is utterly powerless in front of such a beast. Seriously, I don't think I can press hard enough to make everyone realize how powerless I felt. Even today, when I think about this, I remember two things first. Those eyes, man, and that feeling. Just writing this sent multiple shivers up my spine. Thanks for all you do, Travis. Well, Travis, that's a horrifying story. It sounds terrible. I'm sorry that it's pretty much ruined the outdoors or camping for you. I have been camping many times. I've spent lots of times hunting and stuff. And I've been out in the woods, and I'm not going to lie, I've been scared a few times. I mean, I never saw a dog man or a bear or, you know, something like that, or Bigfoot, Sasquatch. But I've heard lots of coyotes and predators around, and it can be a little creepy, especially if you're in a nylon tent. But I could only imagine if you had a run-in with a dog man. Yeah, I probably would not go camping anymore, at least not without being heavily armored. With some multiple firearms and, of course, having silver bullets and stuff like that, just in case the movies are correct. Moving on, check this out. I've got another cool one here. It says, I wanted to share an encounter I had a bunch of years ago back in the summer of 1968. We lived in El Paso, Texas. My father was in the Army, and he was stationed at Fort Bliss. I had a large group of friends back then in the neighborhood, and this was a time when kids still played outside. Heck, we would run wild pretty much all day and all night during the summer. We could come home and go to any one of our houses for a quick snack and drink, and then back out into the world to play and have fun. Most of the time, it was fantastic, and I look back often fondly of those times as a youngster. However, there was one event that changed, that forever changed me. To this day, I still think about it, and it's kind of hard to forget no matter how hard I've tried. Anything I say today will be understood as the words of someone only 11 years old, but I'll try to make myself as clear as I can. On a summer evening in 1968, an older cousin, a group of friends, and I decided to play some baseball at a nearby baseball field. The field was about 4 or 5 blocks away from where I lived at 3621 Richmond Avenue, and the field was southeast from my house. Anyway, we all got together and were out playing ball. There wasn't enough of us to play a team-to-team matchup, so we were rotating one pitcher, one fielder, and the catcher while the rest batted. There are some train tracks that ran parallel to the baseball field. I mention this because of what happened next. My time came up to pitch, and my older cousin was out fielding. One buddy hit a foul ball, and it went over the fence towards those railroad tracks. By then, it was getting a little past dusk, though, and the field lights weren't that bright. There was a man that we saw standing close to where the ball rolled to a stop. My cousin ran towards the fence and yelled at the man to, "Hey, throw that ball back to us, could you, mister?" But the guy ignored us. So some of my friends from the neighborhood came over and they started yelling at the guy, "Please throw us back the ball." And he continued to ignore us. So then some of the guys started to curse at the guy for the ignoring of us. None of us wanted to get near the guy, though. He looked odd. Something about him didn't feel right. One of the guys picked up a rock and threw it at what we thought was a bum. The rock came close, but it didn't hit the guy. Then a group of guys started to throw rocks all together. That's when the crap hit the fan. This guy turned towards us slowly and dropped to all fours. What we saw next, by the dim field lights, was not a man, but a snarling wolf-like creature. My cousin was the first to react by yelling, "Werewolf!" And he turned and ran, followed by all the rest of us. We ran as a group. Some were lucky and made it home first, peeling off from the rest of us one by one. My cousin and a friend ran to my house, and they all spent the night. We told my parents what we had seen, and of course, they blew us off. My mom told us that's probably what you boys saw the devil. That's what you get for staying out past dark. Being Hispanic, we always had holy water around the house. We blessed our house, especially my bedroom. None of us slept that night, and any noise would make us jump. The next morning, meaning all the guys, gathered up enough courage to go back and investigate. We found our ball, where it had landed, and there was no visible tracks or anything else. Everyone but me agreed that we had seen a werewolf. I kept asking, how could it have been a werewolf, guys? There was no full moon or nothing. I wonder if there have ever been any other dogmen sightings that have been reported in or near El Paso, Texas. If I were to see something like that all by myself, I probably would have just brushed it off as a dream or a wild imagination. But there were like 8 of us, and we all saw it at the same time. We saw this guy instantly turn into a wolf and then run off. Now, I've managed to stay in touch with a couple of the guys from the old neighborhood through Facebook, and of course, I still talk to my cousin. Whenever I ask any of them about that night, they all claim to have seen the same thing. They also claim that it has made a big impact on their life, that they now see the world in a different light. There are very few people outside of that group of boys that I've told this story to over the years, and whenever I did, they either laughed at me or they thought I was crazy. I'm an old man now, but I needed to get this off my chest. And this person wishes to remain anonymous. But what a cool story. I like the idea of it seems almost like a movie where the werewolf is like a drifter. You know, we've talked about it many times on the show, me and Cam. Frank, for whatever reason, vampires are really good looking guys. And the werewolves are always like the scumbags. You know, they're the dirty biker-like guys. This is the same thing. This is like a hobo hitching rides across America in the train tracks, and these kids are cursing at him, throwing rocks, and he just shapeshifts into a wolf. He didn't look like an upright walking werewolf like from The Howling or something. He just looked like he turned into a wolf. So was that a skinwalker? I don't know. I love these stories. They're crazy. If you have any experiences like this, please email the show. Let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Hoo-hoo-hoo-ee.
When it comes to the sightings of, they go by many names, Dogman, werewolf, whatever. I still don't know what people are seeing. Is it truly some kind of demonic force? I mean, obviously, I don't believe people are actually shape-shifting into like a werewolf. I know you do.
I do. And it's all because of the story that my dad's old buddy had shared when I was a young man.
Yeah, like a skinwalker is what you're referring to. Yep. Yeah, and I believe that more plausible than like the movie The Howling, where a guy's in a movie theater and just starts transforming into this wolf.
Would be awesome, though.
It would be an awesome skill. Or is it truly
skill?
Like four mangy...
I don't think you train for that.
Mangy bears walking around and people are just simply misidentifying what they're seeing. Is it your mind playing tricks on you?
The fellas that we had on talking about it had an encounter that it felt... Every time we spoke to them and all the times we've talked to them, it like they are 100% genuine. They had an encounter with something that was not a mangy bear.
Well, and, you know, maybe it is. Look, what I'm trying to say is people see ghosts, and it was someone that passed away under unusual circumstances or sometimes bad luck or something like that. And people will see the image of the ghost, and the image is a representation of what those people look like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that you can see ghosts of other creatures that might have existed at one time on this planet?
Maybe, probably, yeah.
Maybe 250,000 years ago, there was like an upright walking canine, and every once in a while, people see the ghost of it. That's why people shoot it and nothing happens.
I just think it's a manifestation of evil.
That's what like a thought form?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of It's like the old adage, you know, that what was it in Ghostbusters? You remember whenever they were like, don't think of it. You know, I'm going to let you decide what's going to kill you. And then they're like, the choice has been made.
Yeah, right.
And then it was Stay Puft, right?
Yeah. And they're like, what did you do? What did you do?
There's even stories of people seeing little Stay Puft men.
Is it really?
There's stories of people seeing Stay Puft, actual Stay Puft marshmallow men. There's stories of people's encounters, don't forget, with Michelin men. You remember like whenever they would talk about being on UFOs, they would see them, which looked like the Michelin man outfit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it feels like it's like a anything else. It's a thought tulpa. Like it's built from evil, but it's something that maybe we have focused on. And because of the lycanthrop fascination over all the generations and the millennia that we've written about and read about and all this stuff, maybe truly there was something that wasn't, maybe it was human, like we've talked about the wolf of Wisteria, right? And you've done that story about him. When you go to look at all these things, maybe it was a person at first, but that all of that energy, like, you give good vibes, you feel good. You give bad vibes, you feel bad. Maybe that energy has manifested itself in something, and then it just breeds from there.
Well, I definitely believe if there was a demon or something trying to scare you or...
That would work.
That it would be, it would like make itself appear as something that would terrify you. I know as a child, there was only a few movies that really scared me, and one of them was like The Howling. As a kid, that was really scary.
Yeah.
And I remember having nightmares about that. The other one was Alien.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know how little they show it? I mean, and talk about horror movies that actually kind of stand up. That movie is still really good. The original Alien?
The original Alien, yes, is very good.
I like the fact that you don't get to see it, and that's what makes it truly terrifying.
So it's funny that you bring this up, because I had made a post, it's been a little while back, about what people would like, right, as far as movies. What movie... like would have scared you, you know, would have seemed silly now, but like would have terrified you or did terrify you as a child. And you would not believe the numbers of people putting out like Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
Wizard
yeah.
of Oz scared a lot of kids as a child.
Well, those flying monkeys were kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, here's another Wizard of Oz that we've got here on the list. The birds.
That's pretty scary.
The Dark Crystal. There's several about the Dark Crystal. Yep. Cat's Eye, of course. Yeah. Pet Cemetery, of course. Like you start looking at Child's Play. Right? I mean,
it's funny because certain things will scare a kid and it doesn't even have to be a horror movie. Like I remember Luke could watch the most intense, scary film, wouldn't faze him, but then something silly like, I don't know. The Boy. You ever seen that movie, The Boy, where it's like a doll? But like that, he won't watch that. It's like terrifies him.
I've not seen
that. It's odd that kids, what you find scary as a child, I guess, changes over time, just like everything else.
Well, I'm trying to think of the one, my daughter, it was Gollum. I think I've talked about this before. My daughter would watch Lord of the Rings, and Gollum was one of her favorite characters when she was like four. But when she watched Finding Nemo, Bruce, the shark terrified her.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. It's very silly.
I was like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, how can you be scared of that when you're looking at Gollum and you think that doesn't faze you?
I don't know. It is funny though. But I do. I feel like a lot of these things that we're dealing with is some sort of manifestation of evil.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because I just don't believe that there's a flesh and blood werewolf walking around in the woods.
And maybe we've created it, you know, like we've discussed. There's a lot of these things, like the flying humanoids, or maybe they're transdimensional too. I mean, I don't know. Until we get our hands on one, we'll never know.
Speaking of flying humanoids, that's what I'm going to be doing the Elite Show over.
All right.
Not just flying, but just strange humanoids in general.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode of Expanded Perspectives. Don't forget... if you have a sighting or story you'd like to share with me and Cam, email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. You can follow me and Cam on all forms of social media. Also, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. Go to the website, expandedperspectives.com. Click on the Elite tab, sign up. $5 a month. You'll get an extra episode every month, as well as access to the entire back catalog, and you'll be helping out the show. We've been trying to upgrade our shotgun microphone, but apparently they're having a hard time producing those things. I don't understand why, but I think it has to do with the, like, I've heard, like, because of coronavirus, like little circuits and stuff like that, like pretty much everything like that is in high demand.
Yeah, the parts it takes to make them.
Same thing with computer parts, because everybody's trying to mine freaking Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrency they're trying to get their hands on. Do you own any cryptocurrency?
No.
Neither do I.
No, I do not.
I know in the past we had people.
I don't even own any currency.
You have no currency at all. You just trade jade.
That's right.
Flint and stuff.
Eggs.
Yeah, I remember, like, I want to say like 2014, we had actually a couple people that wanted to know if we would take Bitcoin for their elite show. Oh, we should have done it, because now that stuff would be worth like $100,000.
Yeah, it'd have been worth a ton. Yeah.
But you never know, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's, I'm not smart enough to keep up with it. So like I've got so many other things going on that I can't dedicate time to trying to figure out Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
I know. Shows our age, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope everybody stays safe out there. Till next time. For you elite folks, we'll be talking to you soon. For everybody else, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.